Would you turn with me, please, to the passage we read in God's Word, Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. And as the Lord would enable us, we might consider the last three verses of the chapter. In verse 22, he says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." And then verse 23, "I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. For unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come. And all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory." The Lord has sworn that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. This prophecy, like all of Scripture, was given to the church. It's given here to the church of the Old Testament, the Jews. And yet you'll notice it is really a prophecy that is for all nations, because the nations are addressed. "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and besides me there is none other." Yes, the Jews were given the gospel, but they were to be those who made that message known to others. And that is what you and I are to do still, to make that message known to others. Well, this message, what was it? You'll notice it was a message which indicated very clearly that God is great and sovereign. There's a reference, as we mentioned earlier, to Cyrus, the one whom God had anointed. He was the one who was going to raise up Cyrus to be the ruler of this new empire, the Persians and Medes, and he would do the bidding of God on behalf of God and his church for the advancement of the church for the kingdom of God's sake. "By me kings reign and princes give their decree." Let us remember that rulers are raised up by God, and even ungodly rulers are raised up for a reason. It might be a judgment on a nation that they're allowed to have ungodly rulers, because that is what God gives them over to when he says, "On you go in your sin, because you have rebelled against me and will not listen to me." Don't we fear that's the situation in our nation today? Well, here's this message for the nations. There's a reminder that God is sovereign, but I want you to notice there is more than that. There's also a reminder that God is gracious. God is addressing people that have no knowledge. Verse 20. How is their ignorance seen? They set up idols and they worship idols. What gross stupidity and foolishness to worship creatures rather than the living God. And to such who not only act foolishly, but actually are rebelling and offending God, we find the Lord speaking. And what does he say? We find him coming, calling them near, and telling them that there is no God beside him, that he is a just God. That's a fearful thing to hear, but he's also a Savior. And then you have this tender, loving offer of the gospel. "Look unto me and be ye saved." Who? All ends of the earth. Yes, you idolaters, look to me, for I am God, and beside me there is none else. Here is an offer of salvation, a call to faith in Christ. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? Well, we might think of it as a looking to him. Look unto me. That's what we have in verse 22. Now, that word there, look, has the idea of turning round. It's as if someone is calling from behind you. There's something to see behind you. And of course, these people had to turn away from the folly of idolatry to the true God. Look to me. Rely upon me. What is faith in Christ? But a turning from all falsehood and error and false saviors to rely on Christ alone for salvation. Friend, have you looked? Will you look to him? Notice, faith in Christ is also described in verse 24 as a coming. Even to him shall men come. And that's describing those who are trusting in the Lord. Well, it is a recognizing them then of him as the Saviour. And again, a relying upon him, running to him, coming to him and saying, well, yes, I will have you to be my Saviour, coming to him for help. There's a third way in which we might think of faith in Jesus Christ and coming to faith in him, and that's what I want to look at this evening. We have the phrase in verse 23, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. And in the context, what we have here is the Lord saying, look, what you must do is swear an oath of allegiance to me. You must bow the knee. You must swear to me words that speak of the recognition of the Lord for who he is, and a bowing down before him, to own him and to recognize him as the Lord and as the Saviour. Now, that phrase, an oath of allegiance, is an old, old phrase. In England, you'll find it goes back to the days of the Magna Carta, where people pledged an oath of allegiance to King John upon certain conditions. I don't know when it came into Scotland, but we know that there were various oaths of allegiance that were imposed at different times, especially during the covenanting struggle, when some of the Covenanters, because of the outrages of the House of Stuart, disowned Charles II and then James VII, and refused to acknowledge his right any longer to reign in the nation. Well, what happened with the Oath of Allegiance? It's something you still get today. If you were to become an MSP or an MP, if someone was to become a citizen of the UK, they would have to swear an oath of allegiance. A policeman, someone in the forces, and in the judiciary, in many places, you still have to take an oath of allegiance. And it is acknowledging the sovereign to be the rightful sovereign and pledging loyalty. It is a demand of submission. And Scripture tells us that the day is coming when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Notice it's a quotation of the verse here related to Christ. At the end of time, at the day of judgment, everyone and everything, angels, men, demons, shall swear an oath of allegiance and be forced to acknowledge him if they will not gladly acknowledge him. And the question tonight for you is this. Have you subscribed? Will you subscribe the oath of allegiance to Jesus Christ. Will you believe in your heart? Do you believe in your heart? And will you confess with your tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord? I'm here tonight as one who is an ambassador of Christ, sent by the King to ask you this. Christ calls upon you to swear an oath of allegiance to him. Are you prepared and ready to do that? Oh, all God's people, they will gladly say, let me swear allegiance to him. Daily, their desire is to be one of his and to follow him. And when they gather round the Lord's table, as God willing they will do next week, one of the things they're doing is swearing their oath of allegiance and renewing it, their vows to the Lord. But I have come to say that the Lord demands of you now that you swear this oath of allegiance. You must, friend. I know there's every reason to do so. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall swear. He comes tonight, though, and says, look, gladly submit while it's the day of salvation. Well, what does this oath of allegiance include? What are the terms of this oath of allegiance? Some of them are set out before us in verse 23 and through to 25. And we'll notice these four brief things. First of all, it demands, and it is demanded of you, a hearty submission to the Lordship of Christ. A hearty submission to the Lordship of Christ. That's one of the things that's emphasized here, is it not? That Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, you might say, where's the reference to Jesus Christ? There is reference to God, there is reference to Jehovah, but there is no reference here to Christ. Ah, but you turn to the New Testament, and you find this quoted in Romans 14 and verse 11, and also in Philippians 2:10. Romans 14, be careful how you judge your brethren. Remember Christ as judge, and that every knee shall have to bow before him. And as we quoted from Philippians 2, he is the one before every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So who is Jesus Christ? He is none other than Jehovah, the Son of God, equal with the Father. The second glorious person of the glorious Trinity, the divine Saviour. He is the one who is Lord. He has every right to rule the universe. Why? Well, because simply he is God. And as the God-man, as the one who is a divine person, he must reign. But we're told especially that as the one who is the Son who became man and who was willing to humble himself to the death of the cross. Because of that, God has highly exalted him as the mediator, as the redeemer, as the savior. He is the one who has been given all power and authority in heaven and earth because he was obedient to death. And has now been rewarded with great glory. What was the confession of the early church? Was it not simply this? Jesus Christ is Lord. A Jew would not utter these words unless he was convinced that he was the divine Savior, the Messiah. So it was the test. Is he Lord? Can you see tonight? He is Lord. Peter in Acts 2, that all the house of Israel know that God has made that man whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Chapter 5, 31. Him hath God exalted to be a prince and a saviour, to give repentance unto Israel and remission of sins. You find it in the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, that God has committed judgment, the judgment, to this one who is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Ah, well, friends, we all owe allegiance to him. And here in the gospel, what you find is this. There is this command to look to him and to pledge your allegiance to him. And you see, those who take Christ's oath of allegiance, what are they doing? They are saying, yes, Jesus Christ is Lord and he will be my Lord. Can you say he is Lord? Well, you wouldn't deny that. Are you honestly saying, heartily saying, he is my Lord and God? Are you gladly submitting to him? Are you willing to come under his authority? Are you willing to be ruled by him, to follow him, to serve him? That's what it means to come and trust in him. It means, amongst other things, to gladly be under his authority and to desire to be ruled by him, to obey him, and to follow him wherever he leads you. Have you seen the folly of the idols of this world? They can do nothing for us. Think of all the things that people idolize today. Celebrities, money, sport, music. Many, many different things. They have their place. But when an idol is made of them, it's so foolish because they cannot help. And you see, the sinner begins to realize these things and turns away from these things, turns away from idol self. I'll no longer be the center of my life. I realize I'm a creature made by God and for God. And I will need to deny myself and follow him, turning from all sin to follow him. Are you willing to subscribe this oath? Have you pledged yourself to serve Christ? You see, when people take the oath of allegiance, they're saying, he's king. He's to be served. He will be my Lord and Master. I am no longer my own. I am bought with a price. Can you see this? I just put in Isaiah 26, verse 13. O Lord our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us. But by thee only will we make mention of thy name. I want you to be my Lord and to be my master. What have I to do with idols? So there's a separation. A separation from those who are rebellious. Because all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. And there's a willingness to take the side of Christ. And say, no longer will I take the side of the people and the things of this world. Friend, will you subscribe this oath? Will you say, he is Lord? those who want to trust in him, those who come to trust in him. That's one of the things that they do. And if you won't do that, then know this. Whatever you have, it's not a true and living faith in Christ. Because you must have a whole Christ. That includes the Lordship of Christ. Or he will not have you. And the truth is, you're not having him. Perhaps you're thinking, this smacks a bit too much of a work salvation. Ah, friends, not at all. Notice the second point. Those who subscribe Christ's oath of allegiance. What's the second article? A total dependence on the righteousness of Christ. Do you see that in verse 24? Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness. And then verse 25, in the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified. What does it mean to come to trust in Christ? Well, it means to say he is Lord. But it also means to say, I need his righteousness and I'll have it for my own righteousness. Have you come to see yourself as a sinner? Remember, these words are addressed to sinners, to those who were ignorant. They had no knowledge because they were setting up their idols that could not save them. They were in foolish rebellion. Well, have you felt in a measure that you're a sinner? Well, you know you're a sinner, but have you really felt it? Has it made an impact upon you? Are you aware of God's righteousness? Notice God says in verse 23, I have sworn by myself. You see, he has made an oath. It's the same word that's used there. But he swears by himself because there is no one greater to swear by. He's saying, I would cease to be God if I failed. I've sworn by myself. And then he says, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness. These things are certainly going to happen. And he speaks of his own righteousness. You see, he's the perfect standard of truth. Have you compared yourself to that him as the Holy One, the Just One? The one who in every way, in every action of his, in every word, is perfect. Don't you and I come far short? We're sinners. And we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you see, if you've seen that, what do you need? You're troubled by your sin tonight, and you're saying, how can I escape the just judgment of God? For the wages of sin is death. I'm going to have to appear at the judgment seat. And how can I appear when I'm a sinner? The wages of sin is death, and that's what I deserve. Ah, well, remember, God has made provision in Jesus Christ. Here are those who were sinners, and they're subscribing something wonderful. That they're relying on the righteousness of Christ. There in the day of justice, what will God demand? Perfect obedience. After all, if you were up before the law courts for something, and well, let's say it was a speeding offence. And if you said, well, look, I've insured my car, it's got a valid MOT, most of the time I never speed, all the lights are working properly, I had my seatbelt on, I wasn't using a mobile phone, and you go through all the things that mean you've been keeping the law, what difference is that going to make? When the evidence is brought out that on one part of of the law you failed. Guilty. And judgment is given, and the sentence is pronounced. You've no argument. It's not our problem. We lack righteousness. We're all sinners. But you see, here are people who are trusting in Christ's righteousness. They have found one in whom there is justification. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified. How can that be? Because in the Lord have I righteousness and strength as I rely upon him. Then what he has done, it becomes mine. And what has he done? Well, he is the one who has lived a life of perfect obedience, never once sinning, keeping all the minutiae of the law perfectly, not just in the letter, but in the spirit of the law. What else has he done? He has died on the cross as that offering to deal with sin, as a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice. He kept the law. He died not for his own sins and for his own needs, but for the needs of all those who would trust in him. And you see, here is someone who is saying, I rely on that righteousness. Coming to faith in Christ is a coming to say, I rely on him alone. And that's a profession all God's people make every day. I rely on Christ alone. Have you embraced Christ and his work? Are you placing all your confidence there? Are you saying, I want his work of atonement to be mine so that I can be justified, declared righteous, be acquitted of my sin? Not that God's ignoring sin. He's dealt with it justly. The condemnation felt on Christ. He's a just God, but he's also a Savior. And you're saying, oh, that would be mine. Well, is that not what's offered to you in the gospel? And when you take this oath of allegiance, you're saying, his righteousness shall be my righteousness. Will you subscribe this oath of allegiance? Those who subscribe are those who trust in Christ. A third thing. The third article is this: a complete reliance on strength from Christ. Those who are swearing, they are saying, surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Ah, well, see how this person is not full of himself. What they are going to do, I can do anything. That's the age we live in. People full of themselves. If you believe you'll do it, then you'll do it. There's faith in self. Believe in yourself. What paganism. And yet that's what's promoted so much in our society today. Friends, see it for what it is. Call it for what it is. Reject it. And especially in your children and children's children, help them to understand why it's utter nonsense. Just because you believe you'll be able to do something doesn't mean you'll do it. By God's help, we can do many things. And we're to encourage people to look to the Lord. And yes, encourage people that by God's help they may do many things. But this belief in yourself is utter paganism. But you see, the person who's beginning to seek after Christ, they're beginning to realize there's something lacking in me. There's the problem of sin. And as life goes on, it just seems that sin increases more and more. There's a feeling of helplessness. But the person who pledges their loyalty to the king is looking to him for strength and help. In the old days, many would gladly pledge their allegiance to the ruler because that way they might get food given to them, protection afforded them. They knew their need. And in return for allegiance, they looked for help and protection. Well, Christ gladly offers strength to those who are in allegiance to him. And therefore, God's people, those who take this oath, they say, they're saying, I'll have my strength from Christ. It may be that we have a reference here to sanctification, that process of becoming holy, winning the battle against sin. When a person comes to Christ, and as we go on day by day, what do? We say, Lord, be my sanctifier. Make me holy. I can't make myself holy. I can't overcome my own wicked heart within, if left to myself, and the devil's active, and I can't overcome him of myself. But Lord, help me by thy Spirit to be holy. Help me to be holy and help me to serve. Break the power of sin and help me to keep from it. Subdue it more and more. Subdue me more and more to thyself. Heal my backslidings. Has Christ not promised to do that? I will heal their backslidings. He will subdue their iniquities. Micah 7:19. He promises to do that. Coming to Christ involves saying, Lord, be a complete Saviour. Rid me of the guilt of sin. Rid me of the power of sin. Here's this oath of allegiance, which reflects the promise of God. Be not only my justifier, be my sanctifier. Indeed, isn't it also be my keeper? He alone can protect us and help us. You know, some people say, I wish I was a Christian, but I could never keep it up. And to that, of course, the answer's simple. You can't keep it up. Neither can I. No one here can. But I will be thy strength. Here's the oath. Taking Christ to be our strength. In the Lord shall I have strength. And I'll acknowledge that. Now come relying upon him and not myself. Friend, don't keep back from Christ because you feel weak and helpless. Listen to his promise and say, Lord, by thy help, I'll depend on thee for everything. Or will you subscribe and pledge your oath to him? Notice briefly a fourth article. It's this. There's a pledge to rejoice in and glorify Christ. Verse 25, and the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Taking him as Lord, acknowledging his righteousness alone, relying on his strength and glorifying Christ. The word there, glory, is the word halal. Think of the halal psalms, the praise psalms. Boasting of God, glorying in God. That's the idea. Have you seen that he alone is worthy of your praise and glory? Oh, you may have gloried in many things. They were the center of your life. You almost perhaps gave religious worship to things. Many people, perhaps they were interested in football or some other sport, and I have to confess, it was like a religion to me. And then, as God began to work in their heart, they lost the taste for it. They saw something better. And ultimately they saw Christ alone, and the things of God alone were worthy of their praise. Turning to Christ means saying, I will glory in Christ alone. He'll be the center of my praise. He is worthy of praise. Because he is Lord, and what a gracious, loving Savior. It means saying, I will be resolved to glorify him daily. I will be resolved to glorify him in the whole of my life. I will be unashamed to own him as Lord. Will you say that? And will you line up and subscribe those articles and say, he is Lord, and I take him to be mine, and I will live to his glory. God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, will you subscribe tonight? Oh, I know there are many of you here who've subscribed before. And every time you get an opportunity, you say in your heart, and if necessary, you would do it in paper, I will subscribe. My allegiance is to Christ, and I delight in him. And you're looking forward. You're looking forward to a communion Sabbath. When the king comes in a special way and round his table, he says, who are mine? You see, I feel my weakness, but I want to be loyal. I love the Lord. I will serve him. Perhaps you've never subscribed up till now. Will you do so tonight? You know, another day is not promised. The king demands that you bow the knee before him. Indeed, the king has sworn on his own divine authority that this will happen. Friend, if you do not do it tonight, if you're ashamed of him, he shall be ashamed of you and disown you. And the day is coming when he will say, you're a guilty rebel. You rejected my offers of salvation. Cast them into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and with silence, not a word from your lips, the angels will take you and cast you into the bottomless pit. And forever you will regret the fact that you ignored the offers of mercy. Friend, tonight is the day of salvation. Swear your allegiance to Christ now. Let us pray.